Welcome to the Music Career Show, telling you the stories of the world's best professional musicians.
Hello there and welcome to the Music Career Show. My name is Barry and every week I'll be speaking with incredible musicians from all over the world about how they've honed their craft and made a career out of doing what they love the most. If you're a new listener, then while you still have your device in your hand, please take a second to subscribe and tell your friends all about the Music Career Show.
Hello there and welcome back to the Music Career Show. My name is Barry Carroll and each week I delve into the world of building a thriving music career by interviewing remarkable musicians and professionals from a diverse range of sectors. My goal is to inspire you with real-life stories and glean wisdom from industry insiders, empowering you to make music your livelihood. So unlock your potential as a music professional and help spread the love as far and wide as possible. Please subscribe, review and share the Music Career Show to all your friends. And as I say, help me share the love as far and wide as we possibly can. Today's guest, I've got a very, very special one for you today. So today's guest has been referred to as a champion of the human spirit. He is absolutely huge on TikTok with over 500,000 followers and counts guitar legends such as Joe Bonamassa, Jared James Nichols and the lads from LA Guns amongst his musical peers. So it's my pleasure to introduce you to Peter Dankelson. How are you, Peter?
Hey, doing good. How are you?
I'm absolutely flying it. I'm even better now for having spoken to you today. So, Peter, for people out there in the world that have been living under a stone for the past 3 years and maybe haven't heard of you just yet, why don't you introduce yourself to the nice people?
Yeah, so my name is Peter Dankelson, or if you've been online and seen Pete's Diary, that's also me. Yeah, 22 years old, been playing guitar for, how long has it been now? Since 2016.
About 8, 7 years thereabouts.
7 years, I think. Yeah, so a little while. Yeah,
good stuff. Good stuff. You've made some impact in 7 years, I tell you.
Yeah, well, it's like when I picked it up, you know, picked up the guitar and started playing. You know, it's just really obsessed, and yeah, once I started, there was no stopping me. You know, no looking back.
Yeah, good man yourself. Yeah, I've been playing guitar for 17 years, and if I was half as good as you, I would count myself very, very lucky and very, very happy. But so I always start interviews with this question: where did music all start for you? So you said you started playing guitar in 2016. How did you get into playing guitar?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Basically, it was a really interesting kind of turning point in my life. So I've lived in Chicago. Well, I was born and raised in Detroit, kind of around the Detroit area in Michigan. Uh-huh. Lived there for the first 15 years of my life, you know, went to school there and all of that. But before I started high school, me and my family, we moved from Michigan to Chicago, Illinois. So, you know, huge turning point in my life. And music had always kind of been like prevalent, you know, uh-huh, like a really big thing in my life before. Like, you know, you grew up listening to music and stuff, you know, mom and dad would play in the house and, you know, tunes that would pump up my brother for a hockey game and all that. So, you know, music was always around. But really, when I moved from, you know, when I moved from Michigan to Illinois and started high school and all of these different changes that were going on in my life, music even further was kind of a big crush to kind of help, you know, adjust to these new transitions of moving and all of this. And then really, it just kind of boiled over, you know, for kind of about a year. At the end of my freshman year of high school, it really just kind of boiled over into curiosity. And I said to my dad one night, hey, I think I might want to learn how to play guitar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he played when he was in high school, and he actually still has, you know, this the amp and the guitar and all of that stuff. So I got started on that and went on YouTube and started looking at lessons, you know, started to learn some of my favorite AC/DC songs and, you know, some of those classic riffs and all that. Yeah. And it's like, you know, there was no stopping. There was no looking back. I loved it.
Yeah. AC/DC is always a great place to start. I was exactly the same. I used to just put on AC/DC albums and, like, it was 9 times out of 10. It was either in the key of A or the key of G. You were grand.
It's great.
And it sounds so good. So that's great. Did you ever go for lessons, or were you just completely self taught?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. For the first, so it was pretty much, pretty much from freshman to sophomore year, was still kind of jamming and figuring things out on my own. But then in the summer between my sophomore and junior year of high school, there was a school of rock that opened.
Oh, cool.
And basically, you know, I don't know, for people that might not be familiar with the School of Rock franchise, it's kind of inspired from the, you know, the movie with Jack Black. And it's great because, went to the, basically for me, it was my first time, you know, getting introduced to playing with other people, you know, in a kind of a band and doing like live performances around town. And I did take lessons, you know, there for a little while. So it's kind of that next step, you know, for me from just kind of jamming at home by myself, you know, it was kind of that next step to actually interacting with, you know, with other musicians and other people that were playing. So it was a lot of fun. It was really cool.
Excellent. I love that. I was only speaking about this to the last person I interviewed, that it's learning to play in a band and learning to play a guitar. It's like when you learn to drive. I don't know if you can drive, but when you learn to drive, you don't learn how to drive until you pass your test and you're out there on the road by yourself and you have to figure out these things for yourself. Playing music in a band, I always thought was exactly the same thing. It's great doing it in your bedroom and playing along to the to the albums or whatever, but there's nothing like actually going out there and like doing it. And as opposed to you accompanying the CD or whatever. CD, do you hear me? Mm-hmm. Honestly, you can tell I'm in my 30s, like playing CDs. You probably never, you know what I mean? But it's one thing playing along to the CD, but it's one thing or it's another thing being the music, and it's so cool. Yes. So you must have talk to me about some of those first bands. What were they like? Mm-hmm. What were you playing? What was the story?
So kind of like who I was playing with, or like who I was listening to.
I can understand why you were confused by that. The first bands that you started playing in.
Okay, so like pretty much for me it was all with the School of Rock. I just kind of stayed I was good enough to the point where I made the local, you know, the performance group in School of Rock is called House Band. And basically it was great because we were kind of going around, you know, local areas and playing, you know, local events in town. And other places. So it was great to kind of start going to, you know, I guess different venues and kind of do like performance shows and all of these games. It was a lot of fun. So that really was kind of the only thing I was involved in, you know, sometimes just kind of jamming with friends and everything. And all of that. But then for me, you know, once I graduated high school, you know, I graduated out of the program. So it was kind of like, okay, what's next? I'm not going to college because, basically, this was kind of a crazy turning point in my life because, you know, graduating high school, I had this huge surgery coming up. So it's kind of like, okay, we're not going to do that right away. And I graduated in 2019, early 2020. I had the procedure and, you know, spent kind of a fall really kind of getting back on my feet and recovering from that. And my winter came around, and then of course, you know, spring of 2020, you know, everything went off the wall. So it was kind of like, what is going on here? So in the midst of all that chaos with COVID, once that hit, it's like, okay, what am I going to do now? And, you know, it's just kind of jamming at home and lockdown and all that. And it's just kind of fooling around with some, you know, riff ideas and jamming. And one of the drum instructors who worked at School of Rock at the time, his name's Ryan, we kind of started hanging out and jamming together and putting together song ideas. We became really good friends real fast. And it's like, oh, this is great. You know, we're having a ton of fun. You know, we should definitely, you know, take it further with a band. It's like, well, okay, who's going to sing and who's going to play bass? I don't want to sing. Basically just 2020, it was like later 2020, but 2020 into 2021, it was just me and him just kind of hanging out for, you know, and just kind of jamming like riff ideas and all that. And then in spring of, I guess, kind of around this time, 2 years ago, a buddy of mine from School of Rock named Mac, he came over. We all hung out, and I wouldn't call it an audition. It wasn't really an audition. It was just kind of like a, you know, would you want to, you know, he's a great guitar player, but he was nice enough to pick up the bass. It's nice enough to pick up the bass, so, and he's a great singer too. So, you know, it's like, okay, you know, you're doing the, you know, playing bass and doing the vocals. Let's just roll with this kind of 3-piece format, you know, kind of in the vein of like, you know, ZZ Top, Rush, or, you know, Cream, you know, all those great power trios. So it's kind of like, oh, this is kind of a cool, you know, you don't see trios much anymore. This is kind of a cool setup. So we just kind of started rolling with that, you know, started to jam more together and, you know, Went with a few different band names, but ultimately now it's, you know, Pete's Diary, and we're, you know, And we've been doing lots of shows. And right now we're writing a full length record and hoping to get that recorded over the summer. So lots of fun stuff going on with that. It's been a really good ride.
That's amazing. And it's still the same, the three of you that started out back a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So whereabouts are you with the album then?
Yeah, right now we're still writing it. We're hoping to, I guess, at least have like 10 songs for a record. We have five right now. We have four we're rehearsing right now, so we want to get those because basically we're working with Keith Nelson, who played with he founded Buck Cherry. He's producing the album, and we've been doing some songwriting with him. So me and Mac went out to LA about a month ago and wrote five tunes with him. It was like five songs in 5 days. It was cool. It was very quick. Wow. And then so we wrote these tunes, lots of fun, demoed them out, you know, have a rough sketch of them. Came back home and we just got those demos back a few weeks ago. So now, and it's kind of been a bit of a chaotic time, but you know, basically, unfortunately, Mac has been really sick recently.
Oh no.
And his voice is gone. Like, he's just been really sick. So me and Ryan have been jamming these tunes, and like for some local shows, you know, I've been trying to step up to the mic and do some singing. So it's kind of this weird, chaotic, you know, thing that's going on right now. But you know, once he's fully recovered, we've been jamming them instrumentally. But once Max fully recovered, we'll bring, you know, these few new tunes into the set list, and then we're gonna go back out, write some more to finish the record, and then by early, I think we're shooting for recording by early August. So that'll be awesome. Stuff going on right now. Chaos, but fun.
I'm so sorry, mate. My dad has just chosen to phone me at right this second. Honest to God. Oh, sorry. Just, I really hope to God that wasn't on the recording. Dad, if you're listening to this recording, stop phoning me. He's phoning to speak to my daughter, who is up in the bath at the moment. And I always tell him at this time of the evening, because if I'm not teaching, I'm doing a podcast or I'm doing something. So yeah, if that's on the recording anyway. So back to what you were saying about the album. That's absolutely class. So I was going to say that I learned how, like, I'm not an amazing singer by any means at all, but like I gig every week and stuff like that, and I sing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the way that I learned how to sing was that I literally threw myself into the deep end and sang because I had no choice to do it. So you might find now that because your singer is out sick and you having to step up a little bit, you've got an extra little something that you can pull out every now and then. Harmonies, vocal harmonies are the absolute pinnacle of bands when you get them right. I love Billy Joel, but I love Billy Joel, like, one of my favorite things about Billy Joel is the backing vocals in all of his music. I'm a huge Van Halen fan, and one of my favorite things about Van Halen is Michael Anthony's backing vocals. It's like absolutely phenomenal, like. Keep it up, and that could be a really, 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 really cool thing. So for those out there that are kind of thinking that they're like you say, you don't see an awful lot of like power trios anymore. The only one that I can really think of at the moment that's doing any sort of anything is the Winery Dogs with Richie Kotzen and Billy Sheehan and Mike Portnoy. That's the only one that I can think of at the moment that are kind of doing anything worthwhile. So sorry any other trios out there that I've just offended, but anyway. So anyone out there that's thinking that they've got a power trio on the go, or they're kind of thinking that's where they want to go, but they don't really know how to go about it, and they're thinking maybe I need to write an album, what would the best bit of advice that you could give to them be?
It could be
about any facet of being in a band or anything, or...
Yeah, that is interesting. For me, it's just kind of been like, the more you play together, the tighter you get. So it's kind of like, especially with live shows, you build up that chemistry of playing with each other. And even in rehearsals, like, we'll just kind of do these jams, and that's how some of these riffs that, you know, we're working on for the album, that's how some of them, or at least one of them, kind of came about. So, like, you know, sometimes, you know, we'll kind of jam different ideas, or, you know, I'll come up with something at home and kind of be, oh, okay, this sounds pretty cool. Let's see what they think of this, and I'll bring it in, and we'll mess around with it. So, like, just kind of, like, you know, jamming around. It should be some, And like even like the vocals, you know, it doesn't have to be like a song, you know, like a, it doesn't have to be like super serious. Mac, you know, he'll just get up to the mic and he'll just kind of be jamming. He'll just like sing nonsense and do it. Some really funny and, you know, some stuff like that. So it's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that reminds me of a story. Yeah, you know the album Hysteria by Def Leppard. So Pour Some Sugar on Me. That was, and anyone from Def Leppard is more than welcome to come on and tell me that I'm wrong about this. I'd love to have you on. But as far as I know, the words, the vocals to that song, or sorry, the lyrics to that song were written by one lad standing in one corner of the room and another lad standing in the other corner of the room, and they were blaring the music really, really loud. And one guy would shout a line to the other guy, and whatever the other guy thought he heard, that was the lyrics. And
that's funny. I
thought it was hilarious because if you think about it and you listen to the lyrics, like they don't really make living like a lover in a. I always hear that as living like a lover with a red iPhone, which back in 1987, I don't know, but like I wasn't around in 87, but I highly doubt iPhones were either. But I love that. That's really, really good advice because you hear about like how, like you and me are far too young to know how the music industry has changed, really. But
you
hear about how much has changed and how much, like, even I done sound engineering in college and that was what I did after school. But like I was out of college a year and what I learned was already out of date because that sort of stuff moves on. But then you saying that the best bit of advice you can give is just to play is lovely and refreshing and just jam and just be pals with each other and all that. And just the good old fashioned way of getting to be a band and getting to be a good band. I love that.
And just kind of thinking of that too, I forget exactly who said it, but it's like, to me, it's like, you know, specifically with rock and roll, especially, it's the sound of people playing together. And like, even like, I think we've been talking, I think Keith's kind of way of recording for this, or at least kind of like how he goes about it, and it's kind of got me excited too. It's like instead of like with recording, you know, sometimes you'll do like drums, bass, guitar, you know, like layering, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It sounds like with what Keith wants to do, and I'm kind of excited about this, is like we'll be jamming together in a room and kind of get the basic idea of the tracks and then kind of go from there. But, you know, the core of it is going to be the three of us kind of playing together and, you know, we'll see where that kind of goes.
Fantastic. Here.
So I'm excited about that to kind of, because to me it captures, you know, it's the sound of you guys, you know, playing together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that. I love those classic, is it classic albums? Is that what the program is called? There's not been a new episode of classic albums in about 10 years, but there was one, I think it was Meatloaf's one for Bow of Hell. And you know the way when they listen to the isolated tracks and they're at the big mixing desk and stuff and they bring up the isolated track. But you can still, in like the drums master, you can still hear piano over in the corner. Or you can still hear the bleed and stuff like that. Right. Yeah, like you were saying, there's nothing like real musicians playing together. I think I've said it before. One of my favorite albums growing up was Aerosmith Live Bootleg, and I think it was 77, 78. And you can just it's not even that it's their best performance. I doubt it's their best performance. What I love is how real it is. I love how many mistakes you can hear.
Yes.
Or how, like, Joe Perry would be sitting back listening to it. It's like, oh, Christ, how did I get that wrong? I love that. I love it because it's so real. I love when you can also hear, in there was an Elton John song, can't think of which one it is, that you can hear him sort of licking his lips if you listen, like, so, so carefully and so, like, scrutinize it. You can hear him licking his lips. Is it? Anyway, yeah, I love that sort of stuff. So, like, yeah, like you were saying, real music, real stuff. It's the sound of people playing together. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward. When did you say the kind of the ETA on that is the album? When are you planning on releasing it?
Oh, it's still got a long ways to go. I mean, we got to finish writing it and recording it first before we can even, you know, think about it.
Fair enough. That's cool.
A
year from now. Well, you've your whole life to write your first album and about 3 months to write your second one. So keep writing. So people are going to know you from TikTok, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. That's how I know you from TikTok. You've got over 500,000 followers on TikTok. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. How have you done it? You've done it so I can do it then.
Well, for me, it started with COVID, you know. It's actually it's kind of funny. I didn't really I didn't really want to download it at first. Really, we downloaded it because with what Pete's Diary, which was kind of funny, what Pete's Diary started out originally with is speaking. Because, you know, with all the medical stuff that I was born with, you know, it's a really long story. But basically, with all the medical stuff I was born with, you know, I'd go into schools and kind of share my story, you know, about all the challenges that I've overcome, you know, share them with students and kind of, mm-hmm. you know, tell them, you know, empower them, you know, to be the best versions of themselves. And, you know, every year for like the past 5 years up until, you know, 2020, it was like this run of schools out in California. And it was a lot of fun. It was always a really fun week.
Yeah.
But for that run, Mom's like, you know, a lot of the kids are on TikTok now. And it's like, we should download that. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know much. It's just kind of like, oh, it's something else to kind of deal with.
Yeah.
So if you scroll down all the way, you can see, you know, there's videos from those school visits. And it was, you know, it was cool. But then when COVID hit and it's kind of like, well, what am I going to do now? You know, because the speaking is kind of, you know, and COVID killed it for like a good, you know,
mm-hmm.
3 years. I mean, it stunk. So it's kind of like, well, okay, I'm jamming all these twos at home. Let's just kind of throw them on TikTok. And sure enough, yeah, I mean, you can see that too. You know, you scroll down all the way, you can see it transition from, you know, the school videos to all of a sudden, you know, I'm just jamming. The hair's getting longer too, you know, because no barbershops are open. It's kind of funny. You know, the quarantine hair is going. I mean, really, it's just kind of like, you know, you jam the tunes that people recognize and love. And for me, it was kind of like, it's interesting because I don't have like a professional recording setup. So it's just, it's literally just my phone on a tripod. Well, that's how it is now. I don't know if that's exactly how it was then.
Yeah.
But it's like, you'll balance the track in the room with the guitar and just have edit. So it's not like edited or anything like that. It's really raw for better or worse with the sound quality and all that. You know, there's no editing or anything or any of that. It's literally just kind of like, okay, here's like one take, I'm going to perform it. And especially with social media, you know, you see lots of people doing all these kind of complex stuff and techniques. Sometimes it could just be a bit much. I mean, it's impressive, but it's just kind of like Instagram, especially with like Instagram and TikTok and all that. Sometimes it's almost like a rat race. It's kind of like, oh, I'm just going to do my thing. And we'll see what happens. It seems like people have been enjoying it.
People just like the sound of Peter playing.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like, well, okay, maybe they're like, sometimes it's interesting, but sometimes it's like, oh, I did hit a bum note there, but like the attitude of, or like the vibe from what I'm doing, it's kind of like, I can't recreate that again. So I guess that's the take.
That is the take, yeah.
It's an interesting balance. It's fun.
Fantastic. If you had to reverse engineer it, do you think, or if you had to do it again with the aim of getting to another 500,000 followers, do you think you'd know how to do it, or how would you go about doing it?
All right, so you got like, I joke, it's like you got like the big three. You got Hotel California, you got Stairway to Heaven, you know, all of these like iconic guitars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You throw those out there and you play them, you know, be sure to play them really well. And for me, it was about, you know, really kind of trying to capture the emotion and the attitude, especially with some of those songs like Stairway or Sweet Child of Mine or whatever it might be. You know, because I mean, those solos mean so much. You know, so much to so many people. You want to try and at least capture the vibe and the attitude. You know, perform it. You know, so that's kind of the thing. So you know, you play the hits. People definitely tend to gravitate towards those.
Good stuff. Yeah, it's kind of free marketing for you, isn't it? If people are into Hotel California, they'll look at the same solo 100 times. I know I do. But So, Peter, you mentioned your kind of your medical struggles there.
Yeah.
So I know that you've got this thing called golden hair syndrome, but I don't know what that is. Do you want to share with us what that is? Share with us. Who am I? It's just me. Share with me what that is and everyone else listening.
Yeah. So golden hair syndrome. You know, basically, it's a medical syndrome. You know, it can affect people in quite a few different ways, but like with me. You know, I guess the big one is I'm missing my left ear. You know, that's definitely the big one, you know, physically that people can see on the outside.
Yeah.
But also, like, I was born with a very small jaw, very small airway. So, like, I had an open stoma for the first. For the first, yeah, I mean, up until I was 19. That's why I didn't go to college right away, because I was going to have a huge, it was basically reconstruction. It was a reconstructive surgery for my airway to kind of help close that. So that was, you know, that was very chaotic and everything. But I mean, I've had, I can't even remember how many surgeries I've had now. I've had quite a few.
Yeah. If it was coffees and stuff, you'd have a million cards stamped and whatever else, you'd be well overdue with everyone. Cool. So how is that then? So part of your philosophy, I know, is to empower others to live their best life and stuff like that. And that sort of it resonates with what I want to do with this podcast, to reach as many musicians out there that are maybe kind of stuck in the life that they don't want. Maybe something along the lines of a golden heart syndrome or some other sort of medical syndrome or some other sort of medical struggle might be holding some people back, and this might resonate with them. So how did it hold you back? Or even a better way of asking that is, how did you overcome whatever held you back about those things?
Playing wise, I guess the big two for me is, of course, you know, the hearing loss. You know, hearing loss, nothing's there in the first place, you know.
Yeah.
So I did have a procedure. I, you know, made the decision for myself actually it was right after I picked up the guitar. So it was like summer of 2016 when I decided to have the surgery for the bone anchored hearing aid. So basically, you know, how this works, there's a, you know, for the surgery, they put a bone screw in my skull with a magnet that sits on top of that, you know, underneath the skin. And then, you know, the device can attach magnetically.
So,
and it works by using bone conduction. So basically the best way to think about it is, you know, the outside of the ear is missing. That's not there. But the inside, you know, all the bones and stuff and nerves, it all works. So that's kind of it's the outside. And it's great, too, because the thing that really sold me on it was Bluetooth. So I can connect my phone to it and I found out I could take phone calls with it. You know, I could play music through it. It's awesome. It's awesome. I love it. Yeah. Of course, you know, the big thing was, okay, it could help me here, but I'm like, these features aren't too bad either.
That's so cool. I didn't know that. Yeah. So you could just be like walking around on the phone with your detachable thing.
Oh yeah, I do it all the time. I'm always playing music through there and all that. It's great. Yeah.
Ah, that's amazing. So then, let me ask, because I'm genuinely interested in this myself. Then, so am I right in saying you said that in your left ear, all the components of the inner ear are there. So you've got the eardrum, all the little hairs in the ear. So you have the capacity. Yep. To hear, you just didn't have the hardware, sort of.
Yeah, right. The outside just wasn't there.
Just okay, cool. So then, how does the device work then?
Yeah, so I think it's been a while since I fully looked it up, but it causes the hair, you know, the little hairs in the cochlea to move. Cochlear implant. This specific one is called the bone anchored hearing aid. So, you know, it attaches, you know, with the screw and all that through that way.
Yeah.
But it just causes, it causes everything inside to shake so that you can still kind of, you know, it picks up all the vibrations and all that. So I think that's how it works.
Okay. And I'm sorry if this seems a bit insensitive, but then does it sound different in this side compared to this side, or what, how does that work?
A little bit. I mean, you know, it doesn't, you know, it's not like it but I mean, it what it does is absolutely amazing. But I mean, you know, the original is still the best.
Yeah, of course.
But of course, you know, it does the job perfectly, you know. I mean, it could sound like, I don't know, like, I'm trying to think about how to best describe it. You know, like if you have like a slapback, not a slapback delay.
I'm going to put you on the spot now to explain this, and it's just because I've seen it before, and I've been so interested. I've been so interested in how it works.
Yeah, I don't know. Slapback delay is kind of the best way to kind of describe it with like guitar terms, but sort of like that, but without the slapback. It's almost like that, almost kind of I don't know if reverb's the right word, but just like that, almost kind of
Are you trying to say that when you're hearing it in your left ear, it's like you're hearing the reproduced sound as opposed to the direct sound?
Yeah, okay. But I mean, it's not like it's. I don't know if it's as severe as how it. I might describe it. It's still working perfectly.
It works for you, and it's clearly not holding you back at all.
No.
And it's even it's got some really cool handy features. So like, do you just charge that up with USB or something? Do you?
No, it doesn't quite work like that. There's a little battery on the inside.
Oh, okay.
And then for like shows and stuff, you know, it's like everything's like really loud. I just open up the little. It's got like a little battery compartment on the side. I just kind of open that just a little bit. So like, because when you open up the battery compartment, it shuts off that way. So I just kind of open it that way and leave it attached still. So you know, and then have an earplug in the other ear. So
okay.
Works that way.
Oh, cool. Yeah, because that would be like, I'm thinking out loud now, but the next thing would be like literally if you could have like almost like your own built-in in-ear monitor.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, people always asked about that. I don't know because I don't know if it would quite work that way because it's still like on the outside. It's not like shielded or anything like that.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I'm not 100% sure how an in-ear monitor would work or if there was something it could do to connect on that side or anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah, the right side. Yeah, I don't know. We've never messed with like in-ears or anything like that. So I have no idea how that would work. I don't know.
Yeah. But no, it to me it seems like I'm over engineering the question and entirely. I'm probably
it's something we've thought about before. We're like sitting around, we're kind of like, you know, in rehearsal, we were kind of talking about it. Because I know Ryan's used them before, and he's like, yeah, this would be great to do. And I'm like, I have no idea how that would work with me. He's like, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm like, oh, okay.
Fair enough. Well, no. Okay, well, it can't have been that stupid of a question if someone else has thought of it.
That's stupid.
Oh no, that's absolutely cool, mate. That's absolutely cool. So in light of all that we've just spoken about, and you were saying that you used to go around, or you probably still do go around and give talks in school, like kind of inspiration, empowering talks about kind of living your best life. What is the one, do you have a golden nugget of advice for someone out there that's listening that maybe has similar struggles to what you've experienced, maybe has totally different, maybe has no struggles at all and just needs to hear something positive? What is your one golden nugget that you can give to them?
I think the biggest thing, sometimes it can be a tough one too. Don't be afraid to, you know, be yourself, you know, always, you know, stand up and be proud, you know, who you are. You know, there's a tune that we wrote for the new record. It's kind of like AC/DC sounding. You know, I totally wear the Angus influence on my sleeve with this one. I have no idea how, you know, what could change with it. But it's kind of like when you're putting it together musically, you know, Keith's big thing, you know, they're working on the tunes like, hey, what's the song going to be about, you know? And, you know, kind of hearing it come together as we're kind of, you know, building up the track and everything.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is totally like, you know, a Pete's Diary kind of thing. So it's kind of an empowering kind of thing, but it's kind of like live it up, you know. But yeah, so yeah, one of these songs on the new record is going to kind of tie in with the whole Pete's Diary message, so that'll be a lot of fun, and it's a rocker too, you know. Yeah. it'll be fun.
Good stuff. Yeah. Oh, no, that's lovely. So whoever needed to hear that, just be proud of yourself, just stand up and be counted, and wait to hear Pete's song. That's going to be all about you. I love it. That's amazing stuff. Pete, you wrote a book. Tell us about that. How I Learned to Rock My Life. Have you got it there? Yes, there you go. Look at that now. That.
Yeah, basically the whole point of you know, the book was How I Learned to Rock My Life. I mean, really, it was mom's kind of passion project of just kind of like sharing, you know, a story. But the whole point of the book was really to just kind of show, okay, you know, you see me jamming online, you know, playing guitar and all that. But, you know, now a lot of people know the medical, you know, story and that side of things.
Yeah,
so really
the
book was kind of, you know, the book was the way to kind of share, you know, all of those experiences. And I mean, you know, mom wrote most of it because, you know, if you read it, you know, the bulk of it, you know, I had most of my procedures and surgeries and all this stuff when I was like at least under 3 years old. So like, you know, I don't remember it. Thank goodness.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, but, thanks for God, yeah.
But like, you know, as she was writing it, you know, she, you know, the bulk of like the beginning of when I was little, that was from her experience. But then like, of course, you know, when it kind of shifted, you know, to when I got older, especially with I had a huge jaw surgery and the airway surgery. Yeah. I was kind of like, okay, now I can really kind of talk about, you know, my experiences and like remembering this type of stuff here. So, yeah, so that was really the main point of the book, was to share the medical side of things. And of course, it talks about the music and all that too.
Yeah. Fantastic. How did you go about writing it? Did you write it yourself? Did you have someone helping you, or did you literally just start talking about your life and see what came out, or what happened?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was mom's kind of main. It was really her passion project. Really, it was her thing. And then I kind of put input stuff here, or like reread stuff and go, actually, you know, it was kind of actually more like, you know, such and such, or you know. But I mean, really, you know, especially in the beginning, you know, when I was younger, I don't really remember that. So that was really a lot of her kind of experiences and, you know, and a lot of the stuff that I was kind of raised, you know, kind of, you know, building up mental grit and stuff and all that type of stuff. So,
I'm very much in awe of anyone that can do that. I can barely write a social media post without turning to ChatGPT. Do you know what I mean? So I'm literally just trying to think of how, if I don't know why I'm putting this pressure on myself, but it's like, if I had to write a story about something, like write a book, like what your ma has done, I'm like, how the hell would I go about doing it? I'd literally just be like, oh, okay, this is Peter. He was born on this day, and then this happened. And I'd literally just be like, now write my book, please. And oh, that would be it.
That's so funny. Actually, like a while ago, like when it like first, you know, all the ChatGPT stuff like blew up. Yeah. Ryan sent a text. It was this whole long like paragraph of like, it's kind of stupid. I'm like, what is this? And Ryan's like, oh, you know, ChatGPT generated the song. I'm like, we're not using that.
I asked it to write me an Irish song, because that's what I do. I do an awful lot of, well, I used to, I gig in Irish pubs and I'd sing Irish songs. Obviously enough, I'm Irish, just in case anyone's been listening for the past nearly a year and hasn't realized that I'm Irish. But anyway, and I asked it to write me an Irish song, and it was like, it's like, in fairness, like, you're never going to sing it. However, it was like, do you know what I mean? It's an all right starting off point. It's okay. But yeah, no, I actually, here is a genuine question for you. Where can we get the book over this end of the world? Because I've had a look on Amazon, and it doesn't seem to be available over this end of the world in Scotland.
Well, mainly it's on petesdiary.com. That's where, you know, we have the book. And in the fall, too, we came out with a picture book, you know, for kids, you know.
Yes, and look at that.
Yeah, it was really fun. Yeah, it was really cute how it came together. It was really sweet. But you know,
so what's that one about? Kind of, you
know, yeah, it basically, you know, it's basically, you know, the story. You know, it's it kind of ties into the real life story of when I was about 5 years old. I wanted a big ear for my 5th birthday, because I think that's when I started to notice that, you know, I was different from everybody else. You know, like socially with the ear and everything like that. So like for my 5th birthday, I wanted a big ear, you know. It wasn't like, aww, you know, a stereotypical, you know, 5 years old, you want a toy or a new bike or something like that. I wanted an ear. So kind of the unusual birthday request. But mom and dad found a, you know, somebody that makes prosthetics in Washington, D.C., and he made me my first prosthetic ear. So it was great at the time, because, well, I was wearing glasses at the time, and number one, I held up my glasses really well. And also, you know, it's just, you know, like as a kid, it kind of gave me a bit of the confidence boost that I needed in school and everything. Like with middle school, you know, all the stuff in middle school and, you know, elementary school. And like, I mean, in high school, I was fine with it. But then like after I graduated high school, I just kind of stopped wearing it because, and it was, I mean, you know, in the morning I need help putting it on because I can't really see, you know, you can't really see what you're doing. So I don't really wear it much anymore, and I wear contacts now. So, I don't need to hold up my glasses anymore. So yeah, it's just kind of didn't have the ear. But the main thing with the book was, it talked about, okay, I got the ear for my birthday and everything. And then, you know, we're playing the big show and, you know, it falls off. And then, you know, it kind of has the sweet ending of, you know, we keep playing anyway, even though the ear fell off. And it's like everybody had a good time regardless, and nobody really cared that I had or didn't have the ear. So, you know, it was a fun story of, you know, self-acceptance. And it's cool how we came together.
That's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. And that'll be available on your website as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And can PeteSerry.com. And can we get it over this end of the world, or is it just in the States?
We do an international tribute too. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I know what I'll be doing this evening once I'm finished.
Yeah.
There'll be a copy of each of those on the way to Scotland before long. Don't know why I didn't think to go onto your website. That was stupid on my end, wasn't it? But anyway, right. Where would Pete be selling his stuff? I wonder. If it's not anyway, as my father would always have said to me, if I had brains, I'd be dangerous. But anyway, so going from 5 years old looking for your big ear, and then going and getting all these medical things and all this stuff that you've been through, you're pals with some fairly big rock stars, like actual real life rock stars that I certainly grew up listening to. You will have grown up listening to Joe Bonamassa. How do you know him?
Okay, well that was purely by chance. That was pretty cool. I know the people at Norman Terrell Guitars, you know, out in LA.
Yeah.
I've known them for a while. And we were out there in September. We hadn't been out, you know, to LA in a couple of years, like since like before COVID. So it was like we're out in the area. We were out there for it was a really fun, you know, charity event with one of the organizations, you know, the craniofacial organizations that were involved. So we were just kind of out there in the area, and we were just kind of hanging out, you know, a few days after. It's like, well, let's go see everyone at Norm's. And so, you know, went to Norm's. It was good to catch up with Norm and Lemel and see everybody. And Norm said, oh, hey, he's like, Joe's going to be coming in here in a little bit. You know, why don't you hang around? You know, we'd love to meet you. And I just went, you know, we'll get video of you two jamming. And my first thought is, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't practice much in a couple of days, you know, being out of town and everything. So I'm like, I'm like, one, I'm not in practice, and two, I'm gonna be play with Bonamassa. I'm like, and then, you know, he came in with, you know, Kirk Fletcher and Josh Smith, and those two are fantastic, you know, guitar players as well. And Norm introduces me to Joe. Actually, it was funny too when I talked with Joe. I'm like, he was the last concert me and Dad saw before COVID. It was like the day before everything shut down. And so it was funny. I was telling him, I said, Joe, I'm like, you were the last concert we saw before lockdown. He goes, Milwaukee? And I go, yep. That was pretty cool. And I mean, the jam, you know, going back and forth is on Norm's YouTube channel. And yeah, I was never been so nervous to jam before, but I think I did okay. I kept up moving. That was my goal. I'm like, you know, you don't need to do anything fancy. You don't need to, you can't do anything to show. You can't do anything to show off. It's like, we'll just keep it simple. Keep it going. You know, just I think I did okay.
Oh, that's so cool. And Joe's a nice guy, is he?
Yeah, Joe's awesome. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. What about Jared James Nichols? I did see in one of your very recent videos, it might have been today or yesterday, you were saying about Jared being a good mate of yours. How did
Jared's
you come about?
Awesome. I love that guy. Yeah, Jared's the best. Actually, it's a really cool story on how we first connected. And when I had this huge airway, I had this really big airway surgery in fall of 2019, and you know, mom's taking video, or like, you know, she'd post updates for people online, like, okay, this is what's going on with me today, how I'm doing and everything. Because I mean, it's a long story, but it was pretty brutal. I was in the hospital for quite a while. So you know, one of those daily updates, you know, I had the guitar and I was jamming around, you know, still going. You know, and I was fooling around, it was one of his tunes. I was fooling around with one of, you know, his tunes and having fun jamming that. And mom shared it, and Jared saw it. He, you know, reposted it. And it's funny because I remember I went down to like music therapy to just kind of, you know, fiddle around on a guitar. I hadn't been on my phone in a while. And so, you know, get back to the room and everything. And I look at my phone and I see a text from Dad, and he's like, have you been on Instagram lately? What? So I opened up my phone and Jared had, you know, reshared the video and he invited me to come out and jam with him when he was in Chicago. He was opening up for John 5. And so a couple of weeks later, you know, went and jammed with him at we decided on a tune and everything, and you know, went and jammed with him and it was awesome. It was great to meet him and hang out with him. It was really cool. And then I hadn't seen him in a couple of years because it was like then COVID hit and, you know, everything kind of went down and he hadn't been back to Chicago for some shows in a while.
Yeah.
Until about a year ago, he opened up for Black Label Society.
Cool.
You know, with
Sam. Was that wild? Yeah.
Yeah. And that was cool. So it was great. I hadn't seen him since. And so it was good to catch up with him again. And the cool thing with that is that's when he had did you see the story of Dorothy?
I think so. Remind me though. His main one is All Glory, isn't it?
Well, Dorothy it's a 52 Les Paul, and I mean it like went through this huge tornado, and I mean it's a really cool story. He had the body, and you know he got it completely restored. You know, cool. it's a really cool guitar, really cool story, really really awesome guitar. But he's like, oh dude, you gotta come back and you know check out Dorothy. And so, you know, got to go backstage and check out Dorothy. And we head back up, you know, and we're kind of side stage. And Jared's like, wait here. He's like, oh, hang on here just a second. And he walks away. And I faintly hear, hey, Zach.
No.
And so Jared comes walking back and was Zach Wiles. And Zach, I think, has followed Pete's Diary for a while now. And Jared's like, do you know Pete? And Zach's like, you know, Father P, you know, and he called me Angus Jr. too. And he's like, it's great to meet you. And I was just like, holy crap.
That's really amazing. Cool.
Yeah. And then I got to watch Black Label set, you know, side stage. And, you know, I never like felt the need to go home and practice so much after watching, you know, Black Label. It was insane.
I can imagine. I can imagine. Yeah. Yeah, I've always loved Zach. I've always loved him. Yeah. There was a really really old on YouTube. Like I'm talking like it was old when I watched it. I think it's like the video was from like the late 80s, maybe just before he joined with Ozzy, and it's him playing in like a car park on the back of a lorry trailer or something like that.
Yeah.
You know it. Yeah, I think he plays Mississippi Queen or something. He does a cover. Mississippi Queen. Fantastic. Oh, yeah. And I love that. The thing I always loved about Zach, and I suppose Jared is, I think quite similar, is that Zach's setup is so straightforward and simple.
Yeah.
And he just gets the most amazing sound out of just the simple, just plugging into an overdrive, turn everything up and just go for it. It's fabulous.
Yes.
Just fantastic. Yeah. And it's all just in his hands. And Jared obviously doesn't play with a plectrum, plays with his thumb and stuff like.
Yeah, it's awesome. But with Jared, I saw him again, and he just came out with that album, you know, that self-titled album in January, and he was going to do a show in Chicago. He's like, do you want to come up and jam? And I'm like, let me think about it. You know,
I see what I'm doing.
Well, it was really nice to invite me back up to play, and I mean, just you know, it was awesome just hearing the record. Hearing that new album, you know, top to bottom, you know, play live, and then getting to hop up with him after. It was a ton of fun. It was a really great show. Yeah. That's I hope he comes back again soon.
I'm sure he will. Yeah. I'm sure it's only a matter of time before he just hires you full stop and just do you know what I mean? Just take you on board and be done with it. Do you know what I mean?
I'm hoping that we could like open for him or something like that, you know, if that's somehow like in the cards, you know, if we could like a Pete's Diary could open up for him just to kind of, okay, you know, we got the crowd going, go up and knock on that, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, I'm hoping that we can do something like that. That'd be fun. Mac and Ryan, I got them hooked on the record too, and they love it. So brilliant. Next time he comes to town, all three of us, regardless of what opening or whatever, we're gonna see him.
Well, as a wise man once said, if you don't ask, you don't get. And another another very wise man also said there's a big difference between forgiveness and permission. So if you just go along to whenever Jared is playing and just get up and start jamming, it's, do you know what I mean? It's already done at that stage. Do you know what I mean? Just be like, oh, sorry, I thought this was just here for, I thought it was just up for grabs. Do you know what I mean? It was just, do you know what I mean? Sorry. There you go. That's the one. That's the one. Speaking of other rock stars, you're also good pals with was it LA Guns, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Yeah, that was really cool. Tracy, he found me on Instagram a while ago, and I know he's been enjoying everything and kind of kept in touch a little bit. But LA Guns came to Chicago. Actually, it was a really great lineup. It was like a, awesome, trio of bands. It was Faster Pussycat, LA Guns, and Tom Kiefer. It was his solo band.
Cool.
That was, three awesome, bands right there. And we saw them at a local show. And it was great. Tracy and the guys, they hooked us up with some really good seats. And after the show, went back and hung out with those guys. And it was a really great conversation. We talked until 3 in the morning. We talked for quite a few hours. It was awesome. I mean, it's just, just lots of great conversation, music, life, all of that. It was great hanging out with them. It was a lot of fun.
So cool.
And then it just so happens that when we were out in LA writing, me and Matt were out in LA writing for this record, it just so happened that, it lined up with LA Guns, performing at the Whiskey A Go Go. Because they just released that new record, Black Diamonds, and that's a really fun album. So it was great. So it's like, hey, we're gonna be in the area. And one day I get a text from Tracy, and he's like, hey, do you want to come up and jam Rip and Tear? And I'm like, jam with LA Guns at the Whiskey A Go Go.
At the Whiskey.
It just so happened that at that show too, sold out. I'm just like, holy crap, It was really cool to do. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
That's one of the coolest flexes I've ever. You should just introduce yourself as, oh, hi, I'm Peter. I played with LA Guns at the Whiskey Go Go, and that's it. Yes, Mr. Dankelson. Now we'll get your dentist appointment sorted. Yeah, no, but do you know I played with LA Guns at Whiskey Go Go? That's just the coolest thing ever. I literally grew up wanting to be in LA Guns, Guns N' Roses, playing at the Whiskey A Go Go, at the Troubadour, at the Viper Room, at what was the Gazaris? Was that the other one? I lived for all of that. One of my favorite films ever is The Decline of Western Civilization Part 2. Have you ever seen that one?
I don't think so, no.
It's amazing. It's about hair metal and it's about that whole scene. So there's a really famous scene with Chris Holmes from Wasp, and he's in a swimming pool. Ozzy Osbourne is in it making breakfast. Paul Stanley is in it in the biggest bed in the world without 50 women around him talking about money. It's amazing. Lemmy's in it just smoking a cigarette on the side of a mountain. It's amazing. It's fantastic. You should look at it. It's like 1987 Faster Pussycat. They're in it. Speaking of, and I said that already, but you're talking about all rock star mates. You're well and truly on your own way to becoming a rock star. You were in Guitar World recently.
Yes, that was pretty surreal.
I've got so many Guitar World magazines from. It used to be my thing whenever I was going on holiday, vacation. You'd say, and you go to the airport and you'd treat yourself to a guitar magazine, and I'd read it to death. But it was always Guitar World. It was always Guitar World. So how did that come about?
I mean, they just reached out one day and wanted to do an interview, and I'm just like, whoa, okay. So hopped up on Zoom and talked, and a while later it got published. So that was really cool. It was really cool to reach out and to do the story. And it was cool too, because in the printed edition, the photo that they used as a photo of me was Old Glory. Jared's. It was the first, the black one. It's the first iteration of Jared's signature.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And in the, if you open up the magazine, on the left side is Jared, talking about, the new record that he's just come out with. And then on the other side is me, holding Old Glory and kind of, my interview. So, it's that is awesome. Yeah, that's really cool.
So cool. That's so cool. I'm delighted that that has happened. That's just such a good thing to be out in the world. I love it so much. Yeah, that's amazing. So for anyone now, like, kind of thinking that, right, Peter is the literally the coolest guy in the whole world, how do I be like Peter? So talk us through, do your rig rundown for us.
Ooh, okay. My rig rundown. So what I'm running right now, amp-wise, I have, it's the Marshall, it's the Studio Vintage. So basically, it's a Plexi, basically, you know, with the four inputs and all that. But it's the 20 watt version. And that thing is stupid loud.
I can imagine.
I have an attenuator here at home, so I can bring down, I mean, even with the volume down, you know, you can bring it down a little bit. And actually what I'm using, I don't really have anything going effects wise. I guess it depends, you know, once the record's done, I'll start, you know, I'll figure out, oh, okay, you know, depending on how the songs go, okay, I'll need this and whatever. But right now, all that I'm using, I just have that, and that's plenty loud, amp-wise. And I guess on the pedal floor, you know, because, you know, those amps don't have a lot of gain. You know, they're really loud, but, you know, you really need to hit them hard to really get them to respond.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, so on the floor, Marshall was actually really nice enough to send me the Governor and Blues Breaker reissue pedals before they came out. So for me, I hooked up the Governor, and I love it because, you know, I know it's more Marshall, you know?
Yeah.
So it still feels like the sound of the Plexi, but you can just kind of dime, you know, you can dime the gain more to enough where, you know, it gets kind of almost metal-ish, or, you know, it's got, you know, more than enough gain that I need. So, you know, I guess people call them amp in a box. So it's got the full EQ on there, and basically I'll just turn that off and roll down the volume for a bit if I need the clean and all that. And then the only other thing that I'm using is I forget exactly what wireless system it is, but it's a Shure, it's like a digital wireless. It's got like a tuner. It's like a tuner pedal.
It's GLX like something, 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 isn't it?
It's that, yeah. And I mean, for me, I'm like, it doesn't color the sound of the amp or do anything weird. So I'm like, I like it. It doesn't change anything. So there we go. So right now it's a pretty simple setup, but it works great. So I'm happy with it.
But as we've just been through, it's all in the hands. It's all in the hands. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And guitar-wise, in that Norm's video, I'm playing that SG. I ended up going home with that SG, and that's like my number one guitar right now. Like, I have to have that at shows. Like, I absolutely love that guitar. It sounds and feels fantastic. So mainly that guitar, but live, I don't know. It depends on the set. Like, I'll take out a Les Paul if it's like a half hour set, because anything longer, my back, I'm like,
The way. So,
yes, she's fantastic. And I really love the new Epiphone Carina V. The case is a bit big to move around, but I love I've only taken out to like two shows so far, but like I'm going to try and use that more, because that's a really fun guitar. Yeah. But mainly it's that SG. I really love how that sounds live.
That's class. That's so, so cool. I used to, when you were talking about the Marshall pedals, when I was about 15, 16, I had a Marshall, I think it was called a Jackhammer. It was one of the old, it was like a bullet, and it was just amazing. Like you say, it was just, it's just more Marshall, isn't it? So I was plugging that into a Marshall amp, but it was just Marshall times more. Do you know what I mean? It's that whole Spinal Tap thing. It's like, these ones go up to 11. It's great, like, I had totally forgotten that Marshall ever even did pedals, and I'm so happy that they're out in the world. So in terms of, like, you're sort of heading that way now. You're heading that way. You're starting to become a really, really, really big name. You're starting to become a really big wig in the old rock star world. You're in guitar world. You've got Marshall sending you stuff. You're best mates with rock stars. It's only a matter of time before you're a proper, genuine, bona fide rock star yourself. And brands are going to come around and start talking to you, start wanting to talk to you, start wanting to have you playing their stuff. Who are you wanting to talk to? Who should we send your way in terms of, like, signature models, brand deals, all that kind of crack?
Signature models. I mean, it's a dream, but I'm like, I feel like I need to do some more stuff. I mean, I feel like I don't deserve that. Like, yet or anything. I mean, you know, I think every kid, you know, dreams of like designing, like, you know, like for me, of course, I'm a huge SG fan. So like, I'm like, oh, what if I did this with this SG? Or like, you know, like I have a few upstairs. So I'm like, oh, what if I took the guts with this? But yeah, you get like all carried away with it. What if I had a custom, you know, this in a custom format or like that? You're saying, of course, you know, you're designing stuff in your head all the time. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it'd be a dream come true, but I'm like, I don't deserve.
Well, regardless of whether you feel you deserve it or not, just for the sake of divilment, as I would say, Gibson phoned you up right first thing in the morning, say, Peter, we need you. We need you. We're in dire need of a Peter Dankelson signature SG, and we need it tomorrow. Go for it. How are you specking that out?
Well, I guess like right away, it would be based off of that that newer SG that I got from Norm's. You know, it's that one that I've been playing live all the time.
Yeah,
I really love that guitar. And actually, when I was at Norm's too, there was a it's really interesting. I was really surprised by this. I picked up a 335. I was messing around with it. It had this neck on it. I think it was called a blade neck. I was talking with Lemo about it, but I just remember I was like, "Whoa, what is this neck?" Because my thumb doesn't, I was born with no muscle in my left thumb or my fretting hand. So sometimes next, like I love the Carina V to death, but that neck is a monster.
I used to have a Fly V.
So like if I'm going to be jamming that, I know you really have to hit it hard, but sometimes I mean the adrenaline kicks in when live, so you don't worry about it as much.
Yeah.
That neck is big. So I don't know, you know, maybe go through a couple different necks, see what works best with the hand and the thumb. I love how those pickups sound too. I think they're the 57 classics in that SG. I just put the guts of that and the electronics too. The pots work in kind of a funny way that I haven't really seen on any other guitar. I call it the Angus Young effect because I wonder if it's what he kind of has. It's on, you know, on 10, it's really loud, but when you roll to about 6, it still feels like 10, but just kind of down a little bit. So it's still kind of responds the same way, but it's just kind of, it's a little bit quiet. And like it just kind of brings it down a little bit, and then you bring it up to 10, it just kind of, you know, brings it back up.
Yeah.
So you don't really lose that feel. And then when you roll it back even further, you just kind of lighten up your pick touch a little bit, and, you know, it cleans up. So it's, for me, how I play, it works really well. So like spec-wise, I really like that. And yeah, I guess, you know, you go through like, so electronics wise, I'm like, I really like that. And neck wise, I have an idea of what's going on. Yeah. But like, I don't know, you know, do you do like a custom format? That's when you can start to get really, you know, mess around with stuff and different ideas. Or just go with cherry.
Yeah, right and true. Yeah, if it's not broken, don't fix it. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so much. Well, look, Gibson, Mark Agnesi, if you're listening, do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? That's twice I've called out Mark Agnesi on this podcast. If he ever comes on, he's going to think I'm an arsehole for just trying to start fights with him. So I'm really not. I had Dagan. Do you know Dagan Wilkin from PMT?
Dagan's awesome.
I had Dagan on a couple of months ago and I called out Mark Agnesi as well. Not called him out. That sounds terrible, but do you know what I mean? But hey ho, look, one of these days, Dagan is a Kramer and Gibson artist. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he is.
So like, I'm just saying. Peter, before we head into a quick fire round, what is it? Are you working on anything now, or what's next steps? I know you're working on the album. What's next for you?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is the album. Like I said, you know, we kind of wrote a bunch of tunes. We're going to go back out in, I think, July or so. And I guess write more to finish up the record. And then I think early August is what we're shooting for to record it. And then once that's done, we'll have to figure out, okay, you know, we got it done. Now it's like, okay, what's kind of, you know, how do you go about releasing it? And so I'm sure that'll be out for you. Spring?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's impossible to put a timeline on. But I mean, it's getting worked on, you know. So it's happening. But when? I don't know.
Yeah. Aye. Well, look, no panic. As we said, you've got your whole life to write your first album. So don't start panicking until that's done. After that, panic. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cool. I'll tell you what, let's head into a quick fire round. I always describe these as like icebreakers at the end. So just a bit of crack, bit of fun. No, nothing serious. Straight in. Let's go far. What is the most adventurous thing that you've ever done?
Most adventurous thing. A few years ago. I don't know if it's like, you know, for this place that we traveled, but like took like a family trip to Italy quite a few years ago. Ooh. That was really cool. And, you know, got to check out all the sites and all that. So that was really cool.
Lovely. I've never been to Italy. I had a mate and a mate from Italy when I was a kid, and I always wanted to go, but I've never been to Italy yet. But I will. I'll make it there. Great stuff. Great stuff. Here's a music related one. What's your favorite band? I'm putting you on the spot here now. Favorite band?
Oh yeah. Favorite band is AC/DC. Angus has always been my guy. You know.
Angus. Right.
Well, SG and Marshall. Where do you think you get that from?
You can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong.
No.
What is your favorite song by AC/DC?
There's like five that just jumped into my head right away. But I guess off the top of my head, there's a tune called Riff Raff off of Power Edge.
Yeah.
That one gets me every time, you know. Yeah.
That's, I love it. That's fantastic. I had so many AC/DC DVDs growing up.
All of that.
They're just fantastic. Absolutely fantastic stuff. What is the funniest joke that you know?
Funniest joke that I know. Well, I don't know if I, you know, let's see. The funniest joke that I could do was just my prosthetic ear. I mean, I couldn't take it off and all of that all the time, because it's like once it was off, you couldn't really put it back on. But like, I loved, you know, taking it off sometimes and messing with people. That was always pretty fun. So that was pretty cool. There were times I did accidentally once in middle school, I left it in the desk. And then I went to the next class and actually left it in the desk. So I had, once I realized I left it, you know, in the other classroom, I'm like, can I go back, you know, to English or whatever it was? I got to go get my ear. So, and I mean, everybody knew. So it's like, oh, it's just, you know, it's Peter's thing. I vividly remember going back to that classroom and asking that, you know, the girl that was sitting at the desk, I'm like, hey, I left my ear in here. And she just casually opens it up and hands it to me. Like, no, like, you know, what is this guy doing? I'm just cracking up because I'm like, she had to have opened that desk, seen the ear there, and go, oh, Peter was sitting here. I'm like, what? It's just how casual that was. It's always stuck with me. It was always really funny.
Yeah. You should have said something along the lines of, and I heard what you were saying to her beside you or something like that.
I did do that in first grade. It fell off in like first grade. I had it in a little bag. One of my classmates, she said to me, she's like, Peter, you know, did your ear fall off? And I said something along the lines of, you know, oh, it fell off, but I could still hear you.
Very good. Very good. Right. We'll do one more question. And this is turned into my favorite question ever, because we've just gotten so many funny answers.
Yeah.
What celebrity would you like to fight? You don't need to dislike them. You don't need to have anything against them. You just need to call out a celebrity to fight.
To fight?
To fight, yeah. You got to fight
I'm
them.
I'm like this 5'2 guy with like no muscle. If anything, I'm running away. You know,
you're gonna be fine. You're gonna go for a beer afterwards. It's gonna be cool. Like, it's gonna be fine. You're just gonna like have a fight.
If anything, I'd be hiring bodyguards. I'm like, use the guitar as a battering ram. You know,
there you go.
I've been close to having to do that in a show, but haven't had to do that yet. Yeah.
Not yet, no.
A celebrity? I don't know. I'm like, who's like the weakest person I could think of that I could actually stand a chance against? I have no idea. It wouldn't go well, that's for sure. I mean, look at me. I mean, I always joke, I always went against like Mike Tyson, and that didn't go too well, you know?
There you go. Call out Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson. Hey, there you go. There you go.
There you go. That's my
talk. Yeah. Hey, Mike, you missed one. You missed a spot. Come on.
You missed the other one. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Come on. Great stuff. Right. Oh, Mike Tyson, you're hard to hear.
Yeah.
You're hard to hear. Mike, step out. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, listen, Peter, yeah.
Class. Right, Peter, before I let you go, where can people find you online if they're looking for you?
Yeah, so pretty much across all the socials, it's all Pete's Diary on, you know, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, all of that stuff. I forget which ones you had to put like a dot or like a dash in between. But you know, Pete's Diary, you'll see the logo. Hopefully it'll stand out. So yeah.
Great stuff. And one thing I just realized that I forgot to ask you about is that you do actually do guitar lessons online, don't you?
I do, yeah. Not a lot of people have been signing up, but we've got an album to pay off. Please come help me.
Exactly. So really quick then, how does that work? How does someone get a lesson from you?
It's been a while since I went and looked it up, but it's on Pete's Diary. I'm sure there's like a tab where, you know, contact or like, you know, lessons. There's a way to kind of check that out.
Good stuff. Right, well, if you want to learn how he does it, make sure you go and book in for a lesson. Peter, you are an absolute inspiration and a gentleman. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
That was the Music Career Show. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell your friends about the Music Career Show.